Rabbeisai, it's nice to be back in the saddle. It's been a while since I sat here together with the Olam. I'm very happy to be back. We're nearing the end. It's going to be a reach for us to try to get there all the way till by the Rebbe's birthday, the Pius Etzner Rebbe's birthday. But we're going to do our best. We'll do what we can do. We're here on the 12th parak. Dvarim Achodim, V'Divrei Chasidus, V'Skashus B'Tayir Al Yoda. Speaking about Chasidus, the importance of Chasidus. That's going to help. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nihyeh b'chayim. Okay. Okay, we're in the 12th parak. I'm going to do my best here. My voice is a little weak. In the new printing, it's on page Tzadi Tes. We're learning the Sefer of the Chovos HaTalmidim, the Pius Etzner Rebbe. It's this Sefer. It's Reb Kolayna Miskalman Shapiro was his name. He was a very, very special holy Jew who was known as the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto. And he was killed there, actually in Treblinka, but much of his family perished in Warsaw as Warsaw was being leveled. He was taken to an extermination camp. And he's more famous by another sefer called Esh Kodesh, though this sefer is definitely much easier, much more reader-friendly, the Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim. It's a staple in the Hasidic yeshivas. As a matter of fact, the Rebbe, when he came out with the sefer, he said about himself, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that I wasn't capable of writing the sefer. Like, it's not me. It's like this came from somewhere else. And the sefer has such a beauty to it, and it just really always talks to me. I've been learning the sefer for many, many years, 12, 13 years, every single week. I've been learning the Sefer, and still, it just mamish excites me every time I open up the Sefer. Sefer Esh Kodesh, which is his more famous Sefer, which we've spoken about before, you guys probably heard me say this a few times, was a Sefer that he actually wrote during the war, during World War II. He buried it in a milk canister, and he asked anyone who finds it to please send it to Eretz Yisrael, which is what happened after the war. They found it, they sent it to Eretz Yisrael, and it was since printed. It's called Esh Kodesh, the Holy Fire, clearly in a reference to the fact that his family, and in the end the Rebbe himself, went up in a holy fire. He's quite a personality. There was a tremendous amount of emotion and brilliance and depth and insight into people that's here. So now we're speaking about Dvar Chasidus, Iskashus, B'Toyer Al Yoda. Speaking about Chasidus, Chasidus does not only mean the idea of being Chasidish. Chasidus is something that's relevant also to people who are Litvish, people that are not Chasidish. The epitome of someone who's not Chasidish was the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was a contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov, but really stood on the other side. But he was known, before the Baal Shem Tov came around, as HaChosid Mi Vilna, as ironic as that might sound. He wasn't Chasidish, but HaChosid doesn't always mean that you're Chasidish. So Chasidus, he's actually going to speak in this parak a very, very extremely important, a very, very important piece where people challenge what is the importance of Chasidus. I don't know if we're going to get there today, hopefully next time, but what's the importance of Chasidus, and you know, why would a person want to do Chasidus? Very important to hear from a Chasidish Rebbe. What does Chasidus mean? He defines Chasidus for us. But before we get there, he's speaking about over here, Dvar Iskashus B'Toyer Al Yoda, connecting to Torah, the Avodah that a person has to do. When I was speaking about a person who can be bigger than just being, last time we spoke about, you can be an animal, or you could be a malach. Right, a person can be an animal, which is that he could sink to the lowest common denominator, to part of him, which has his animistic urges and just follow them. Or adirab, a person can elevate himself. He could be a malach. Avol dalecha, page tzadi tes in the new printing, the bottom paragraph. Avol dalecha talmid vasuk. But this is what you have to know. My veteran talmid. Shekol divoreinu. Ela, heim rak emtsoim lehisoirer bohem. All these words that we've spoken are only emtsayim. They are vehicles. It's a way that we should be nisoyer. We should be inspired. Nisoyer bahem. It's a bolt or a vault of inspiration. V'ha'iker. But what's the most important thing? Hu she'tavoid achar kach. V'atzmecho. V'ze b'chol prat. It's like a starter, Rabbi Yisai, that when a person has the starter, so that's going to start the engine. But a person's got to give gas. Give gas to the engine. You're not going to move. You just keep on turning the starter. So he says, our words here is just his oirus. It's inspiration. But what's the main thing? Is sheta void. You have to work on yourself. Afterwards, be'atzmecha, on your own. Bechol prat. In every detail. Mashal, beautiful mashal he gives, a parable to what's this like. Le'ish mis'alef v'nasnu lo'i tipois shaynos. Someone who fainted. So when someone faints, what do they give him? How do they wake him up? Smelling salts. It's actually better than water. Smelling salts, as it's known, the sense of smell goes straight to the brain. If they want it to wake a person up, the best way to do it is smelling salts. The mashal le'ish mis'alef v'nasnu lo'i tipois shaynos. Drops. Vishav Rucha Elav. And he wakes up. These drops are amazing. Right? He's collapsed. He's lost all of his strength. And these drops wake him up. V'hoya imeata yoicha lechem. If from now, he now starts eating bread. Cholav drinks milk. Or gets all the nutrients that he needs to get. He fainted because he was too weak. He hasn't eaten in days. But now, he'll be able to live. V'im yishtate, but if he's a fool, v'yoymar, and he says, hey la tipois, koichom rav, look at these amazing drops, these smelling salts, they're awesome, right? They're able to wake me up, l'achayeni, me'esalufsi, that I've woken up from my fainting. These drops, they're miracles. Kol shekein sheyichazkeni b'chayisi. Then for sure, if I'm ever hungry, thirsty, tired, I'll just smell the drops. That's all I need is these drops. What do I got to go work and make bread and just take the drops? And he refuses to eat and to drink. He's going to get sick. We understand that. You understand the smelling salts is just there to just jolt him awake. But now, he's got to give something that it should actually give it the energy to move. That's just a starter. Kein dvarenu. Rak tipois lo'oyer es ha-nefesh ha-kadosha. Our words here, we come together once a week, and we learn a little chovas talmidim. These words are just little drops. Lo'oyer es ha-nefesh ha-kadosha. In order to awaken, to inspire, the Nefesh HaKadosha, our Holy Spirit, v'sagufa Yisrael, la'avoidosam heim, that they should start doing the work. It's a starter. Now we got to give gas. V'hoya im ta'avoid, if a person is prepared to work, im ta'avoid, bidrochim shehisvinu lecha, in the ways that we've described. We're already on page 100 of the Sefer, page Kuf. He's described to us many different techniques, many different ways, many different approaches. The different ways that we have written here. As be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, ta'ale li'osh Yisrael, karav l'Hashem. Then you'll be able to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it take on your part? Inspiration happens. A person's got to take the inspiration and run with it. Work. If a person is ta'avoid, he works. Work is something that people sometimes think is a difficult type of ethic a person to have. Some people think work is a four-letter word. Why should we want to work? We should try to make things as easy as possible. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Kol Torah she'ein imoy malacha, any Torah that doesn't have with it work, soifei betela." That Torah is not going to last. Person has to work. And the problem is, it's hard to work. It says, Lema doime. Someone who learns and doesn't chazer. What does it compare to? Kizoireya ve'eino koitzer. Like he's planting and he doesn't cut the harvest. Planting's easy, just drop a few seeds. But afterwards you have to come and you have to cut it, you have to pile it, and all that work, that's chazara. So we're so used to just, you know, weiter, let's go weiter, but the tediousness and the difficulty of going over it again and making sure I got it exact, that's all work. But if a person doesn't work, see, he's in a rush to go nowhere. Let me turn the page. Got another page which I don't know, and another page which I don't know. What about go back and do that page? That's where the success is. It's in the chazara. It's in the work. It's in the koitzer. Chazal tell us, Adam lo amel yulad. A man was born to work. That's what we're born to do. That's really what our life is about. Life is meant, our destiny is to work hard. This week's parasha, we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, and until they started the Chanukah Sabbais, every single day, for a week straight, Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, took down the Mishkan, built them it. Now the Mishkan is a huge building. He built it and took it down. He built it and took it down. He built it. And you figure Moshe Rabbeinu is a pretty prominent person. Why you could delegate? You know, let someone else do the job. Why is he busy? How much work that is? Build a Mishkan, take down the Mishkan, build a Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid of work. Work, we embrace work. We understand the value of work. There's a difference of attitude, Rabbi Isai, as to how a person looks at vacation. How do you look at vacation? There's two different ways to look at vacation. One way is as follows. Listen, a vacation costs a lot of money. So I can't just go on vacation all the time. So I got to work in order to have enough money. Then now I can go on vacation. When I have enough money, then I'll take my vacation. But be'etzem, if I could vacay the entire year, that'll be awesome. I'll just go vacations. And I'll cruise and all this and all that. You know, I was talking to one of my friends. He said that they noticed there's a person 60 days straight. He hasn't been in his house. He's going from here to there, traveling the world. He's this, zero, not at home. And they said, we realized why. Because he doesn't like home. They don't like home. So they're running away constantly. But is there something about vacation? Is that what we're really looking to do? And just work is just a hechatimtza. It's a way that we can make enough money that now we could vacay. Or maybe it's the other way around. Be'etzem, I really want to work day in, day out, all the time, as much as I can. I need a break. I need a break. I need to be able to get some, recharge my batteries, so I can get back to work. That's why Chazal, in their brilliance, they termed it Bein Hazmanim. What does Bein Hazmanim mean? It means between the Zmanim. It means that there's no such thing as vacation. We don't vacation. We're between Zmanim. I need to refresh my batteries till I get ready for the next Zman. That's all it is. So think about it for a moment. I want to tell you why I like that approach much better. Because people that live for vacation, the poor people, their entire 300 and let's be nice. Let's say they have 50 days of the year of vacation, which is wild. So 310 days of the year, they're busy, you know, just preparing for their vacation. With us, we got 50 days that we can prepare for 310 days of purpose, of meaning, of something that we embrace. We live to work. It might be a question of what type of work you want to do. If a person can make toirasoi umnasoi, make his work his toira, so then he's working, that's his work. But we're here to understand that it's meant to be something that we have to give our koyach, our power, our energy. If a person's just going to sit back and say, you know what, you do it for me, it's not going to get anywhere. But if a person works, ezakuscha bekirbecha targish, when you work hard, you start feeling a purity. Zakus is like a purity inside of you. V'chol davar midivrei Torah, every word of Torah, tfila u'mitzvos tispa'al. Mirish be'esh akdoisha ha'misnoitzitzim behem bekirbacha. There's sparks of fire, and a person learns, and a person davens, and he starts feeling that inside of him. If he's willing to work. If he's willing to work on his davening. He's willing to work on his learning. He's willing to chazer. Sometimes people say, you know what? I don't know. I just don't enjoy my learning. It's It's because you have not yet learned to embrace work ethic, to learn how to work hard. A person schwitzes over a Gemara and really makes a breakthrough in the Gemara is so sweet, it's divine. It's just delicious. If he's ready to make that, to put in that effort, and then he feels sparks of Kedusha inside of himself. Avolim loy tavoid. But if you don't work, lo bimidas chalina koisam, you don't work on your midas, to clean your midas, to clean up your act, mizuamam, from their filth, their grime, ulakadsham, velo b'chol gufcha, and you don't work with your entire body. Listen to this. Avoidas perech, ke'eved l'raboy. You're working, mamish avoidas perech, the hardest work, the back-breaking work, ke'eved l'raboy. That's what Gemara is. You see, this is what you got to do. This is hard, hard work. But it's hard work that we can love and be happy with and enjoy and feel fulfilled and feel like we have purpose and meaning with all that hard work and come in again, come back at it and work. But if a person doesn't do that, he's not prepared for the work. And he wants to rely on his Iris inspiration. As chas v'shalom, kimis aleph, sheroitzi lahazin es atzmoy, betipois tiyah. It's going to be like the fainter that just wants all the little drops. We had once a bachur in yeshiva. It was a final bachur. He was learning, baruch Hashem, well. Said, you know, I want to go to Eish. It's pretty random. He's you know, from birth, doesn't have many, you know, of these struggling with the Muna issues that I'm familiar with. He's like, I want to go to Eish. I want one more inspiration in my life. So I don't want to go through all the details, but it wasn't a successful attempt. It wasn't. Why not? Because I want to go to Eish means I don't really want to work too hard right now. I want you give me inspiration. Like, let me have it, all that touchy-feely stuff. Well, that's smelling salts. It's good to wake us up every once in a while. Granted, but you can't just be busy with that. The meat and potatoes, Rabbi says, Gemara Rashi Toisvus. This is what's going to get you going. This is the work that we're talking about. The hard work that afterwards you feel like accomplished and good about yourself. And by the way, Eish is amazing. I love Eish HaTorah, and you can send all of your neighbors there. It's all good. But if a person's ready for the real thing, as hakol ta'abe, if you don't, you're not ready to work, you're gonna lose everything. Af b'kedusha iloy chas v'sholom tifkoin. Not only are you not going to go up, but you're gonna end up causing to be poigim, which means you're going to cause a blemish in the kedusha of Hashem. Avol batuchim anachnu becho sheloy tifager v'sholot tisra shem ilachot. We're confident in you guys. You're not gonna do that. You're not going to drop the ball. You're not going to be lazy. You're not saying you're going to do it overnight, but slowly, ma'at ma'at, little by little, v'tamid, consistency, which we spoke about. With this, you began to become a chassid. Consistently, climbing, slowly, higher and higher. Listen, I want to share with you a machshava, which I'm confident is true, and I'm pretty sure I even saw it inside. Look, Torah is difficult. No question about it. For everyone. Everyone, Torah is difficult. It's tchilas of mar, v'soif of masuk. It starts off hard, it gets sweeter, but even when it's sweet, it's hard work. Some people say, look, I'm not down for that type of work. Okay, maybe I should, maybe it's great, it'll be nice, but listen, you know, I'm just not. So I want to tell you what Yusoid, Rabbi Say. And I believe the Yusoid is Emes. You could call me out on it. I believe the Yusoid is Emes, which is as follows. Every person in this world has to go through difficulty. All of us. There's no such thing as a guy that he got off easy. He's got easy street. Some people, their difficulty is in their marriages. Some people, it's with their kids. Some people, it's with their health. Some people, it's with their parnasa. Some people, it's with their parents. Some people, it's with... Everyone's got something that they got to deal with. At the end of the day, it doesn't make any sense that one person is getting off on easy street. So we're all going to have to, I'm going to use the word, suffer something. We're all going to have to deal with something. What do you want to deal with? What do you want it to be that's really like momish? It's like working you hard. It's hitting you hard. I'm suggesting make it Torah. You work like a slave. You slave on Torah. Avoid des perach ke'eved l'raboy. You mamish work yourself hard. You're not living easy street. Sometimes people think, you know, the guy that learns in Koyol, he's like living the easy life, you know? He's like, you know, he's not going to work, or, you know, he's like taking it easy. But if a person really works himself hard in his learning, in his avodas Hashem, in his davening, so then he got his share. You got it. I got my share of pain, of difficulty, of suffering. Everything else can go smooth. But if a person says, you know what, I'm not down for working in my, I'm not working hard on my learning, I'm not working hard on my davening, so don't think that you're going to avoid it. It's just going to come at you somewhere else. And at least over here, it's something that we know we could deal with, and we can embrace, and we could be proud of, and has meaning and purpose. Purpose. Torah. Work hard in Torah. I guarantee, whatever effort you put in there, it's coming off of your cheshbon later. Ve'im tishal mazois chasidus. And if you ask, what is chasidus? What is this thing that we're speaking about? U'bamen godol koyach ha-chosid o'ivir es Hashem al o'ivir Hashem she'en ha-chosid. What is bigger? Someone that serves Hashem who's a chosid and someone who doesn't. We have to define what does chasidus mean, but what's the difference? He's also a person, he's going through the all the Shulchan Aruch and he could check everything. What's the difference? Da'alucha, she'efshar levar lucha oides adover. You should know, I can't even explain it to you, he says. Mepnei, she'ena chasidus dover shal seichel levad levarum. There's certain things you can't explain. It's not something that's 100% just intellectual. Sure, there's seichel in chassidus. There's brilliance in chassidus. Those of us that learn together the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, which is kuloi chassidus, the brilliance there is like it's lo yuman. There's so much brilliance, but that's not it. That's not where we define it. And it only comes together with when a person serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he can taste it. Explain to someone, what does steak taste like? Explain to someone, what does blue look like? You can't explain that. Explain to someone, what does nevua mean? What is prophecy? Only a navi knows what it is. He can't describe it to you. It's not describable. It's an experience that you can't describe. We can't describe experiences. What does steak taste like? It's a taste. I can't describe to you that experience. What's nevuah? Of course, he's going much loftier than us. Nevuah. No one can describe to you what it feels like to be a Navi. Rak a Navi yodemahu. Ve'etzloi ha'isa kol kach pshuta. By the Navi, it's so poshit. Ad shelo heimin lo magam zu lo selo yireh. A Navi, when he has a Navua, it's so clear and so obvious, he doesn't understand. Why, you didn't see it? Kama she'amar a Navi, Hashem Elokim, diber, milo yinabe. Hashem spoke. Who didn't have the Navua? Like, did you hear that? You didn't hear that? By Navi, it's so obvious, the Navua. It's so clear. He doesn't understand. Like, how could you not? Shelo yavin mi hu asher lo yinabe kishashem diber gam kena chasidus. So is it true with chasidus? What is it? Chasidus is not clothing. We're not talking about a wardrobe. We're talking about the real chasidus. Shu hisgalus is a nitzutz mi nitzutz hanavua asher beish Yisrael. It's a certain revelation, it's an uncovering of a certain nitzutz, a spark of nevuah that's inside of a person. You can't like, describe it with just your intellect. What is davening? What is that feeling you have when you daven? Can't explain it. He's like enveloped and he connects and he's like aflame with this kedusha, this lofty kedusha. The way that he looks at is his approach, his connection with Torah and mitzvahs. The chassid has an experience in ruchnius, an experience in Torah and in tefillah, which is something that other people don't even understand what that is. They're not doing the same thing. This guy, davening, is just a rant. It's just, there's a mantra which you have to say, you just got to get it out of your lips as fast as you can, and you're done with it. A chassid, it's a whole different experience. Af a chassid ba'atzmai, even the chassid himself, When the chassid is having this experience, by him, it's so obvious that this is life. There's such clarity and purpose and connection. But afterwards, if he loses it, he falls from that madriga. Now he doesn't even understand it anymore. He's like off. Sometimes we get to a place, a zone, where we have such clarity of thought. We've become like, we have such like an approach, and then later on we don't even like realize, like, what was I doing over there? And sometimes it happens. When a person, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and his whole life, his whole focus changes. There's nothing else in his life really now, other than Torah and Tefillah, and he gets in place into a zone. His head gets to a zone. And then he gets back to the quote-unquote real world, and he gets all caught up with all different types of stuff. And then he looks back at himself and is like, wow, I was really weird then. I was like, what was I doing? I can't even relate anymore. The Hilger Abchatzkel Levenstein had a mashal. And I think it's an important mashal, Rabbi Yisai. It's an important mashal for after Ben Azmanim, but it's an important mashal before Ben Azmanim also. He had a mashal of a person, a man who was a builder. And he had this dream. He was going to build himself a dream mansion. With his own two hands, he was building this beautiful house. And he was on the roof, putting the finishing touches on his beautiful dream house. And as he was sitting there on the roof, something happened with the ladder, and he fell off the ladder, and he fell from the top of the house. And he fell all the way down. It was a serious fall, and the people around him, the neighbors, came running, and they rushed over to him to see if he's okay. And you understand, this man, he's been like working on this house for so long. So the only thing he could say is, My house fell. My whole house fell down. And his friends and his neighbor said to him, my friend, the house didn't fall. You fell. The house is still intact. Chatzkel said, sometimes a person goes through a yerida. He worked hard. He built himself. He's building mamash a palace. V'shachanti b'soichom, a beis hamikdash, a mokum of shechina, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell with full of his mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And then he falls. So did the house fall down? Does that mean that everything he did was for nothing? And that whole thing was like, it was just some weird dream? Or it was a trip I was going on? Or he might have fallen. The house is still there. Get back up and get back inside, because you have your house. And sometimes people struggle Ben Azmanim. And of course we don't want to struggle Ben Azmanim. No one wants to fall off the house Ben Azmanim. But it can create these doubts in a person. Is there really a house here? Or is this whole thing just some sort of crazy fantasy? And of course, we're going to do our best. Ben Azman and Bez Hashem, we're going to stay as strong as we can stay. But never to think that just because I had a trip, that means that my whole house fell down. The house is still there. You get up, you brush yourself off, you get back inside the house. Avol kol zeh, we finish this paragraph. Avol kol zeh, oid mimcha v'hola bochur Yisrael eisa. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. We're talking about a person getting to madregas of nevuah. That's like it's a lot. Rav gadol yoisem erkach haladas afla lach poitz inyanam keila. It's a little bit much to expect of you now, even to like desire, yearn these big things. Aval lektzei hachasidus kvar basa. You've already touched the edge. You've already taken a step in. You're already in the arena. You've tasted a little bit of the sweetness, the honey, of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And you've already had that. You've tasted it. If you just try to incorporate, try to process the words we're saying, try to take seriously. And if you're consistent, you're working on it. Every single day, just a little bit more, chip away. Don't scale back. Person shouldn't like do less. Just keep on taking another extra step forward. Tiye emir tashem, you will become emir tashem with the time. Chassid, the true description of what really chassid means. Bitzel shakai techese, umiziv shchinosoi elecha yifros. Kodesh Baruch Hu's glow, he will spread over you. You'll be able to bask in his shadow, which means to enjoy just the warmth and the beauty of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the meaning of chassid. Beis Hashem, next week, we're going to figure out what's the difference between a chassid and not a chassid. When people try to make fun of chassidim, let's try to define what is the chassid, what do we want, what does chassidus want from us? Different than what we call the classic, you call it the regular Olam HaTorah, people that aren't involved in Chassidus. The Rebbe answers that question. He responds. If someone's going to ask you and say, why are you busy with all this Chassidus, this shtus? What's the right answer to that question? We'll see that Beis Hashem.